Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre. We are live on the air, and if you're a wrestling fan and you just watched Monday Night Raw, you saw The Rock and Roman Reigns leaving Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes laying and strapped and beaten down once again. And what that all is going to mean for WrestleMania, we'll have a discussion about all of that. You are listening live to Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you live on a Monday night, April the 1st. 2024. I'm Dre, riding solo. My partner Jay, no April Fools, is under the weather and will not be here tonight, but I am not riding solo, actually, because I am, as always, happy to be joined for our WrestleMania preview by Jerry, the wrestling expert up there in Wisconsin. How you doing tonight, Jerry?
Excellent. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, this year, WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. Right off the bat, that's an interesting place to have a WrestleMania. I understand they've done much better with crowd chants and things of that nature. They're real good at blending that crowd noise out and hiding some of the things that the crowd says, and if they have to, just outright bleeping it out. Do you think it's going to get really crazy in Philly? Is it going to be something that they might regret having a WrestleMania there, because I'm remembering some of those Philly fans and they can get really, really wild.
Yeah, you're going to want to remember this one. It might be the only WrestleMania in Philadelphia. Now, there is a big international crowd coming, but I still think you're going to have enough old school ECW fans, and people are going to try and – I don't know if it's going to be possible to hijack the show, because not in a dome at least, so it'll travel up, so we probably aren't going to hear – it's too terrible.
Yeah, they'll be able to blend out what they need to blend out with the open air. Now, the next night in a stadium for Monday Night Raw, that's hijacked already. That's guaranteed to be hijacked. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, they're on their own on that one.
Yep. So Rock makes his big return to WWE. He busted up Cody Rhodes last week, left him all bloody. That sets up Cody overcoming all odds and emerging the ultimate winner from WrestleMania. Gets beat down tonight. He wasn't medically cleared to be there, but he made his way down there anyway, and he wound up getting beat up once again. There's no way he's not emerging next weekend as the ultimate champion. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no way he's not coming out of there as champ. Even if he and Seth Rollins lose the tag match on night one, Cody's still going to go over and win the championship from Roman Reigns and finish his story on night two. Do you see it any other way?
They really got to deliver. I mean, the story's been great with The Rock. They brought him in. It looked like Cody was going to get screwed. The fans kind of went with it like it was real. I think the whole plan was to turn Rock heel, and we've got a great storyline. I really think, I think this is going to be the big chance. I don't think they're going to go till SummerSlam. I know they're trying to beat to see if he was going to, that they're going to let him go past Hulk Hogan, but I think the time is perfect to put the bow on the Bloodline story. It's been a fantastic 3-year run on that story. It's fantastic.
Yeah, man, they drew it out as long as you could possibly draw something out, and there's some missteps along the way. It wasn't perfect. I think there was a little too cute trying to have the brothers in and out, and one's in and now the other's in and the other is out and trying to hint at retirement. And they got a little too crazy with that. There was that one title defense against Jey Uso where Jimmy decides to turn on his brother. And it's like, didn't we just see one of the brothers turn on the other like last year? Like, what are we doing? I think they kind of jumped the shark a little bit with the bloodline thing. But in general, overall, I agree that they really have done a great job of storing. And any story that you're going to tell that has Paul Heyman basically manning the ship as far as creative, you know it's going to be really well told.
Yeah, I mean, I have not been this excited about WrestleMania. Last year was good, but this one, there's not a lot of fluff thrown in. I mean, there's a couple of large tag team matches, but they always got to throw something in there. I haven't heard, I don't know if they're going to do the Andre the Giant Memorial, probably SmackDown. Did they do it tonight?
I believe they're going to do it on SmackDown. That's what they've been doing the last few years. So that's something that they used to try to put over on the show, but that added to the bloat. I think that's a perfect example of why they have it two nights now instead of one, is trying to get everybody a payday, trying to get everybody on the card, which is absolutely the right thing to do. But now when you've got a battle royal to keep, to add more people to it, now we're talking, 7-8 hours live, just completely burning out your crowd. So they definitely made the right move a few years ago to make it two nights. Battle royal, they don't even bother with that anymore on the WrestleMania show. They just put that on SmackDown the night before the actual WrestleMania. So sort of the pre-show lead-in to the actual WrestleMania. So they go SmackDown, and then it goes NXT Saturday morning, and then WrestleMania night one and two on Saturday and Sunday. So it's a lot of wrestling, but it's broken up now in a much better way than before. When they try to put everything on one day, that's when it got way too out of control.
Yeah, the crowd had a hard time. It was hard to follow when you have a big match. The next match was doomed. So two nights has been great. And I'm glad they stuck with it.
Yeah. Rock's been outstanding in his run. He's The Rock, of course, so that's no surprise. But, everyone's really been great in it. Cody's been great, even though I'm not the biggest fan of him being the guy to go over. But, he's been getting the reaction, so I can't really argue with that. And Roman's been great. Of course, Heyman's been great. But I still feel like Rock was going to be the one to end Roman Reigns. I thought it was kind of perfectly set up for him, if not this WrestleMania, then maybe the one even before last year, which I think was Dallas. And it didn't come together, didn't work out. What's your view on how they decided to use Rock to sort of boost Cody instead of going with the Rock-Roman thing straight up?
Well, I really think it's down to how do we use his star power, but he also can physically bring it. In the past, you've seen it where they'll bring in other people where it's just show. He still has it left in the tank. He's in fantastic condition. I'm thinking they're done having it where let's put the belt on him knowing we're not going to keep it on him very long. But I have a feeling that we're going to see SummerSlam. We might see Roman and Rock by then because, there could be a falling out from the tag match. Who knows? And they could do a slow build. I think they're done with the days of hotshotting everything where we are going to go only a few weeks with this. We're going to burn things out and change gears really quickly. And that was something I think Vince was used to. If something's not working, move on. And if they could slow burn a SummerSlam for Rock and Roman, that'd be great. But the hard part is, would it still be valuable without the title?
Right.
I think it would, personally.
Yeah, I can certainly see it being valuable. I could even see them pushing it all the way to next year's WrestleMania to make it Rock versus Roman. And then by that time, it might be, the title might be back on Roman. They might have it go around to Damian Priest cashing in the briefcase at some point and Roman taking it off of him. So there's a few ways they can go about still making Rock versus Roman. I bet you it's going to be WrestleMania and not SummerSlam. I think they put too much into Rock and Roman Reigns and teasing that and Rock coming out, a couple months ago and saying, do I want to just eat or do I want to be at the head of the table? I don't think they start something like that with The Rock for SummerSlam. I might be wrong about that, but I think they're going to find a way to push it all the way to WrestleMania.
I think it would. I think that would be. I mean, if they can do it, they've proven they have. If they can stretch out these storylines and keep things going, and The Rock can kind of bounce in and out with Hollywood, where whatever he's got going on inside, not so much Hollywood anymore, but whatever he's involved with, he'd still be able to pop in and out. I'm sure he'll disappear in the spring with the new XFL or the combined league. I don't know what his level of involvement is now, but when that's done, there's a chance for him to pop in and out, make surprises. Appearances, kind of a la Brock Lesnar.
Sure, and Brock would have been there himself if not for the circumstances with Vince McMahon this past couple months ago with the lawsuit with Janelle Grant, which we'll definitely get to that at some point tonight. I do have odds for all the matches thanks to covers.com from an article that was written a few days ago, March the 26th, so last week. By Kyle LaRusick. And so the Universal Championship right off the bat for night two, the main event of Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. Again, no stranger to the dynamics of how wrestling works. We both have seen it a million times. The big show where the babyface is getting beat down and humiliated and last week bloodied. Pretty much a guarantee that he's going to come back and overcome the odds and win the match and on the pay-per-view, on the major card, and finish the story. Cody is minus 400, according to this article, for WrestleMania odds, and Roman Reigns, the underdog, at plus 250. And again, I'm not saying that I agree with Cody being the man to end Reigns' unbelievable run as champion, not a whole lot of wrestling in that run, but he's been holding it all these days, which is still impressive. But I understand Cody's been painted as the big star that went away and came back and is fulfilling the dream of his daddy, the American Dream, the legendary Dusty Rhodes. So I completely understand all that. Do you see any way that that's not going to go that way? There's no way Cody doesn't walk out as champ, right?
The only concern I have is, where do you go from here? Where are they going to go after finally beating Roman Reigns? Who's next? The big question mark, I know AEW, I believe MJF just signed with WWE, if I read correctly. I don't know if they're going to hold him off the night after. A lot of times they like to hold things off the night after WrestleMania at Monday Night Raw, or they could have him be a spoiler. I don't know. I mean, to me, this takes me back, going way back to his daddy, when he kind of went 0-2 Starrcade. I think the second one he won, and then there was a reverse decision, kind of a dusty finish on that second one, to where I think by the time the Great American Bash came around, and he kind of won it back. I just think they overdrew that one to where, they missed that chance to really switch the title. I think the time is now. I mean, he had that terrible injury he came back from. He impressively won the Royal Rumble, where it was entertaining to watch. And he's really held his own to where, I just don't think there's any more. I'm not sure if there's anything else to hold out for the title reign. It's been established. It's going to go down as the greatest in modern history. And I think it's time, as long as there's a plan of where they go from here with Cody.
Yeah, I don't know what quite the plan would be. I'm with you there. I don't know if MJF would be the next plan to pivot to. I'm still looking out the corner of my eye. They do a great job of with the Money in the Bank and sort of stringing that along the entire year. That what a way to get a massive mega heat on Damian Priest, to have him run down after a 30-minute brawl with Roman Reigns and have him cash in on Cody and end the night as champ. So I'm not predicting that. I think that would be crazy. As far as the reaction, as far as sort of a nuclear bomb on everything, I don't think that's in the plans. I'll just put it that way. I don't necessarily see that in the plans to make Damian Priest the guy to come down and ruin WrestleMania, ruin the end of WrestleMania. But in the future, down the line, a month or two, It wouldn't necessarily surprise me to see them do that. So that might be the plan, is just have Cody almost be a transitional champion. I know that wouldn't really feel very fulfilling, but I'm with you. Same, what are you going to do with Cody, and how is the next challenger going to be built up afterwards?
Yeah, I know when Daniel Bryan won the title, I know he had some issues with concussions shortly after that, but he was against Kane, which was kind of and you go back to even when Seth Rollins won his first title, a great heel, but like right off the bat, it was some just. And, both of them had injuries, I give it that. But as long as they have a plan, it does seem like they book out longer. And they're always going to tell you they think way out, but there are lots of shifts in gears and where the fans are going, what just happened. And it feels like they really stick with the plan. Damian Priest could come out as make it a triple threat. But it'd be interesting if Cody beat Damian Priest. Roman Reigns still has that perfect record then for the last several years. If he, that's a way they could do it. I think, but at the same time, everybody wants to see Reigns get pinned. So that would take something away from the fans if he came out to spoil that.
Yeah, you're really going to burn people out and risk just losing them completely if you have Cody built up as the man to end Roman 2 years in a row and he still doesn't do it. Yeah, it really would be like his father being built up to take down Ric Flair 2 years in a row at Starrcade and not getting it done. Yeah. But
they could put the cherry on top, though, and have Cody beat Roman clean, Damian Priest come out to try and mop up, and then Cody beat him, too. That could really pop. I mean, that could go big. Say, man, he beat him and he beat this guy.
Then you'd really be wondering what's next after that.
Yes.
That'd be putting him over, bigger than Hogan almost. Like, I don't know if Hogan ever beat anyone two guys in one night at a WrestleMania.
It's wrestling, so I get it. But the rule had always been you could use up through WrestleMania. So I was wondering, so what's the plan here? I don't know if I missed a Raw where they changed the rule or what happened, but it seems like he'll lose it after WrestleMania by what they used to say.
I don't know if I remember that. I kind of think it's all the way up to the next Money in the Bank pay-per-view. You got that long. I might be making that up in my mind, but I don't know if he has to do anything at WrestleMania. I think he can hold it all the way up to that last. I want to say I heard one time about them. They referenced it on the show years ago that they said it's a calendar year. It's whatever date that you win it on, you got a calendar year to use that briefcase. So if that's not what they're going to do,
change it. That's fine. Yeah.
Right. It's like you said. It's wrestling. They could change the language anytime they want. But they've done a great job of sort of making people forget that he's got the briefcase. They hardly reference it. They call him Senior Money in the Bank, and that's about it. So,
they warn you that something's coming.
It would be a real surprise because they haven't been talking about it at all.
And to talk about Damian Priest for a second, seeing from where he started to seeing him now, he's transformed his body, his ring work. He seems like he's amazing. This would really catapult him. Not sure which title he'd run in after, but either way, I think it's earned. And if not now, then, we still have one or two more events before Money in the Bank, and it'd be a great launching off to get him to that next level.
Yep, I back all of that up. I'm a fan of his from Ring of Honor days as Punishment Martinez, and he was the pictures of him is almost like Walter from back in the day. That the how svelte they've gotten since then is kind of shocking, but that's what happens when you get that the right nutrition and the right motivation. He was a pudgy little guy, but he's always been a hell of an athlete and a hell of a worker, and from all accounts a real good guy, and be fun to see him take a run at, you said, either championship. That's a great way to segue into the World Heavyweight Championship, which I didn't even consider, that he might not cash in on Roman Reigns or Cody Rhodes. He might cash in on Seth Rollins or Drew McIntyre. So we can move right on to that match. Drew, of course, has been tremendous as the bitter, jealous guy in that whole confrontation. Now you insert CM Punk into the whole mix. Obviously, he can't wrestle, but he can be the commentator for the Drew-Seth Rollins world title match. That adds a little spice to it. Do you see interference from CM Punk swaying that decision one way or the other?
If he does, I think he'll help Drew. Just because Seth Rollins and them, if you go back when he had left WWE, and him and Seth Rollins didn't get along, Seth Rollins didn't care for him, and that was a shoot. But, you know, they're professionals, so they can all put their differences aside and be professional. But I think for, like, a lot of us fans that are, we think we're smart, but, yeah, we're all marks. I think seeing him screw over Drew would be not quite, you know, that would also build Drew into a match potentially with Cody.
Okay, yeah. You're right. It would be more, I guess, realistic that Punk would screw over Seth Rollins than Drew McIntyre. But really, he's got, you know, heat with both of them.
He does.
McIntyre did a great job of being frustrated at Survivor Series when Punk sort of upstaged everybody. So.
Yeah, McIntyre's mic skills and his verbal performances has really, you know, I love how his initial motivation was, I got the headline of WrestleMania, and no one live got to see it.
Yeah,
that was from 6 months ago. Very memorable and kind of going this edgier side. I like it, and you know, otherwise he's a guy that they kind of really make real hot and then they cool him off, and it's great that they get him to this level.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's tremendous on the mic. He's another one that sort of transformed himself and came in as the skinny chosen one, and now, you know, he's got 40 pounds of muscle that he's added over his career, and definitely improved on the microphone as well. That match for the odds, McIntyre is a massive favorite in that at -800, and Seth Rollins the underdog at +425. Accurate? Is McIntyre that much of a prohibitive favorite, or you think there's a chance that Rollins could pull away and hold on to his title somehow?
You know, it depends on how the other match is going to go. I mean, I'm always that guy saying they're not going to change too many titles, but I've been wrong before. But I think the time is right to switch over to Drew. It's going to hurt. I think it'll hurt him at this, but unless you screw Drew over, that's the only way he can go over. He can lose and be strong still. He'd have to be screwed over. And that would really stir up that bitterness storyline.
Yeah, you could go a whole nother year just being the angry, bitter guy that keeps getting screwed over and put a whole nother gear into that thing. But, yeah, I think it's going to be Drew, probably with help from CM Punk. They might have it as accidental help. He might be trying to help Seth Rollins because they've really had Drew bury CM Punk very well in the last few weeks with the literal burial CM Punk, you know, on a tombstone T-shirt that Drew McIntyre's been wearing. So they've made McIntyre out to be almost the guy that hates Punk more than Seth Rollins. So I can see that as a screw job finish where Punk tries to help Seth, trying to hit Drew McIntyre and accidentally hit Seth Rollins, something like that. But yeah, either way, I definitely see Drew McIntyre winning the championship. And they've done, before Punk even came along, before he came back to WWE from AEW, they have been doing such a great job over the last year of building in all the injuries for Seth Rollins and building in this expectation that eventually his body's just going to give and he needs to go away, and he's hurt, he's beat up, he needs to go take care of all that and get surgeries and whatnot. And so he's got a nice vacation ahead of him dropping the title, and it wouldn't be a surprise at all because they've done a real good job of putting those seeds in everybody's head of, hey, he's really hurt. He's really trying to fight through and gut through, but eventually he's going to have to just shut it all down.
Well, and that brings back where Seth could pull off the impossible, pull off the win, and then Damian Priest comes out and puts him out because he doesn't have enough to finish off Damian as well.
If that happens, you 100% call that because I had not even considered Damian Priest cashing in on that championship this entire time. I thought he was going to cash in on the Universal. So if that happens, you're all over that. I think the biggest match or the biggest reaction star power after those two matches to me is the women's world title match because they got a massive star, and this is no surprise. We've been talking about it for a couple of years, but they got a massive star on their hands in Rhea Ripley. Like, she is absolutely nuclear. It's going to be so much fun to see what they do with her once she leaves Judgment Day and turns babyface. You think it happens here at WrestleMania? Maybe this is where I thought another screw job finish could come, where Dominic Mysterio accidentally costs her the championship against Becky Lynch. They've been sort of planting some seeds of possibly separating those two. Do you see that happening here, or is it just going to be Becky and Rhea straight up?
Well, the one thing with Rhea Ripley, she only can match up with there's a handful that can really put out a good match with her, where I like Becky Lynch, but there are times I want, because she came up with the others, I want to see her as that next generation, but there's some of her that can be very, especially somebody where she could struggle to pick them up to where it can come across not quite diva-ish, but where she wouldn't be able to hang with her toe-to-toe, and Becky might not have a strong showing in the match because of Rhea's size. I'm not trying to knock Becky Lynch. She's a fantastic performer. But Rhea Ripley, I mean, she can hang with the guys. And Charlotte Flair is another one. Sasha Banks was smaller in stature, but I felt like she could hang. Bayley definitely can hang. But I don't know. I mean, the story doesn't – I mean, Rhea Ripley seems pretty unbeatable. I just don't know if they're going to do something, it would be I'm not sure if the time is right for Dominic to screw over Ray. I haven't really seen that. You know, he could, however, like you had mentioned, accidentally cost her the title, and that would definitely fast forward their storyline.
Yeah, I think Becky Lynch can hang with Rhea Ripley. I see what you're saying, that it almost looks unfair when you got Becky standing next to Rhea Ripley because Rhea's so much bigger. But I think they did a real good job of letting everybody see what Becky Lynch can do with a bigger person by having her constantly in there with Nia Jax over the last month or so. And I thought Becky I thought she hung with Nia Jax, even though they had Nia go over her clean of about a month ago, which was kind of shocking. But eventually they rectified that and had Becky beat her in a last woman standing match. But I think she'll hang. She's tough. She's I think she's better than she was 5-7 years ago. She's got more experience, and I think she's going to carry Rhea Ripley to a great match because Rhea is so big and so dominant. Like, if you let Rhea lead that match, it would just be Rhea beating Becky down for 15 minutes and then Becky mounting a comeback and win. I don't think Rhea's going to lead that. I might be wrong about that, but I think Becky's at that stage. I think she's going to pretty much lead the way, and it's going to be very even. And it's hard to imagine Becky winning, but this is why it's such an interesting matchup to me. It's also hard to imagine Rhea, because Becky Lynch is who they were sort of pushing as the next big female star, like in the vein of Ronda Rousey. Like, it seemed like Becky Lynch was supposed to be the one to almost knock off Ronda Rousey before, Rousey basically took her ball and went home. So I don't know if they want to, snuff out Becky Lynch at this point, but I don't see how they can ignore how huge Rhea Ripley is right now.
And the only reason, I mean, this is that whole playing out how they book things, but Rhea Ripley wins because Bayley has to win. Like, they're stupid to have Io Sky defend and win. So if they flip the title of Bayley, sometimes it's unlikely they'll flip the other title as well. It has happened, but more often than not, they don't flip.
Yeah, it's hard to, it's kind of hard to imagine them flipping that title off of Rhea Ripley, just how just because of how hot she is. She's the big favorite. She's -500, and Becky Lynch is +300. So that's a tough one to me. I don't think Rhea Ripley is quite that big of a favorite. It should be quite that big, because I think there's still a chance that they could have a sort of a screw job finish and have Becky go over Rhea Ripley, but we'll see. I'll still pick Rhea in that one. But if Becky does win, I wouldn't be completely shocked on that. And so the other championship match, women's championship match that you mentioned, Io Sky and Bayley, the whole damage control explodes, brother, like the superpowers, with setting up Bayley challenging Io Sky or Shirai or whatever they're calling her these days. For the WWE Women's title, like all turns in WWE, it was telegraphed for the longest. So everyone saw that turn coming. Is this a good use for Bayley, you think, Jerry? Because I had issues with how they turned her face. Like, she kind of is still a heel to me for the, you know, for setting up the faction in the first place and the way that they sort of ran roughshod over everybody. Did they do enough to paint Bayley as the good girl here?
Well, we're going to find out. If she comes out to her original entrance music,
huh,
that Philadelphia crowd worries me, but I think that could be huge moment for her coming out to her old gimmick. She may not have to keep it long-term. It's almost like Hogan coming back to the yellow and, you know, the yellow and mm-hmm. red and to Real American, because by the time Bayley got to Raw and SmackDown, they already started to tweak her character within a year. It was just getting stale because it was so successful in NXT that I always felt we got robbed not seeing a Sasha Banks-Bayley match as big as it was at NXT TakeOver. It was one of the top five matches I've ever seen in all of wrestling, their first match. And I think Bayley could come out and put on a great show. Io Sky is a great dancing partner. It's a complete misuse of booking if they don't. I mean, this is Bayley's big moment. You know, she had a knee injury that took her out. Yeah, I thought it was over a year.
Yeah, it was about that long, yeah.
Yeah, and they gave her some ridiculous on-air roles. And, you know, time is now. And I think, especially with all the themes that they're using against her, to have her come out to her original music would be pretty cool, I think.
I don't know if they're going to go there just because I think that's the gimmick that was starting to get crapped down a little bit when they brought her up to the main roster. That's why they decided to turn her and take that away. The wavy guys, whatever those guys are called, the wavy paper puppets in the background and the ponytail off to the side and all that. It was getting a little stale. It was getting a little hokey, and the crowd was starting to not love that. If you bring that back in Philadelphia, there would be a pop. There would also be some people like, oh God, this again. So I don't know if they're going to do that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but definitely, there's no way she's not going over. I'm definitely in agreement with you. I just don't know if they quite did enough to convince me that she's the aggrieved party here. Like, I can see, a scenario in which you look at Damage Control and say that, yeah, they were, you know, cutting out the raw meat there. They were trying to get rid of the cancer in the group before it turned on them, because Bayley hasn't been a good person the last couple of years at all. So, but that's just how I see it. Bayley is the massive favorite to win at -900, and Io Sky is +500 there. So everybody sees that the same way. The tag team titles are up for grabs in a ladder match. Judgment Day will defend against Dunn and Bate, The New Day, DIY, Miz and R-Truth, and Waller and Theory, Six Pack challenge for that one. How do you see that one? I'm confident Judgment Day is losing just so Damian Priest can finally be freed up and cash in Money in the Bank. Maybe not there at WrestleMania, not on night two necessarily, but eventually to cash in Money in the Bank. So that's how I see it. I'm pretty sure Judgment Day is losing. The question is, who takes the titles home, or do you see it a different way? You think Judgment Day might retain?
I don't know. I've always been a fan of Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. I think they have a lot of fans in Philadelphia. On the other hand, you know, like The Miz can be hated in those circles. So I think Gargano and Ciampa. But what will be I worry about these matches. There's so many people involved that I worry about. You know, anybody can be injured any time. When you have that many dancing in the ring and you've got multiple ladders involved, I just worry about serious injury, long-term serious injury. And we've seen some doozies in the past.
Yeah, we just saw one last year in AEW with Dante Martin and Pentagon Jr., where Dante Martin did a flipping Mexican destroyer off a ladder onto the floor, and almost predictably his ankle just completely popped the wrong way. So, yeah, we definitely can see some ugliness, guys splitting their arms or heads on the ladders. I think they've learned how to do those matches a little safer than back, you know, with the Hardys and Edge and Christian and all those guys. And so you will definitely see some crazy stunts and some guys flipping off the ladder all the way onto the floor, but they've learned to have, like, you know, 6 or 8 or even 10 guys down there as a base to make sure that those guys land safely. So they'll do some crazy stuff, but about as safe as they could possibly do it, if there's a way to do it safely. I don't think they have match odds for that particular match on this website, which I was kind of looking forward to that. Like, how did they split up those 6 people and make somebody the favorite? But you have DIY. So you agree with me that the Judgment Day will lose the match. I was looking at actually Waller and Theory, because that act gives me some Rated RKO vibes, like two guys who get great heat from being sort of jackasses and going out there. They're always booed. Nobody likes them. And I think putting the straps on them gives them sort of a new level that they definitely takes them out of NXT, which they were both just in NXT like a couple years ago. And I think that puts them, you know, on that next level of being the new cocky heels that can absolutely get any crowd anywhere in the country booing against them. And I think they actually have been doing very good work. So my kind of upset pick would be Grayson Waller and Austin Theory to win that match.
Well, also they're beatable champions. So if they did win, it's that kind of thing where they're finding ways to win matches. You know, those are always great heels. See, kind of the old chicken shit heels. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I think they're great at that. They got a couple guys sort of playing that role. The pretty deadly guys. God, they must really be great heels because I hate them. Every time they come on the TV, I'm like, oh God, I just hate watching them. I know they're good workers, they're good hands, I understand that, but they just great their personalities. The yes boy, maybe they should be the next champs because they just get on my last nerve. But
now you can mark my words: the match everyone's going to talk about on Monday is going to be Gunther and Sami Zayn.
Okay.
I don't know why. I'm super excited. Gunther's that new longest reigning champ. Sami Zayn, he's showing. They had him kind of temporarily join the Bloodline. He's kind of a joke. They saw what they could do with that character, that story. He headlined night one of WrestleMania with the tag team match with Kevin Owens. I really think the time to be Gunther's now would give Sami Zayn some great credibility.
That would be an upset. Gunther is -400 to retain. Sami is +250. It was so odd to see Sami Zayn lose to a nobody last week on Raw, and Bronson Reed, I don't know if you had saw that, sort of a prep match to challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental title, and he loses. And then tonight, he has a rematch with Bronson Reed, and he's got Chad Gable coaching him up and telling him, you know, you gotta find that next gear and go to that next level. And he gets walloped by Gunther tonight, who also clobbered Chad Gable as well. So this seems to be leading to a Sammy win and the end of Gunther's record title reign. And you think that's the right move to make? Because Gunther continuing to roll, I could kind of see that too. Because, you know, like you said, what's next for Cody? Gunther maybe would be next if you keep building him up, if you keep that Intercontinental title on him even longer than this. But, you know, like we've said before on these WrestleMania shows, when the babyface is getting absolutely humiliated and pummeled in the go-home Raw and all that, then he's pretty much guaranteed to win on the actual big show.
Well, I can see Sammy taking everything Gunther turns, you know, Sammy Zayn's got that lighter colored skin where it's going to show every chop, everything.
Yeah, the first chop is turning bright red, the very first one.
Yeah, he's going to kick out 2 3/4 and not give up. And I really feel like he's going to have he's going to show that he can overcome the odds. That's just my take on how that match will go.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. It's another one similar to Roman Reigns being built up all these many years just to lose to Stardust. It was hard to me to imagine last year, and then they didn't do it, and then they come right back and do it again this year. So it's really hard to imagine. But I think they sort of painted themselves in the corner there. They almost have to give Cody the title now. But similarly, it's kind of odd to imagine they build Gunther up for the longest Intercontinental title reign ever, just to have him lose to Sami Zayn, who I like Sami a lot, but they downplayed him for most of his WWE career. That was a great moment last year, taking out the Usos and winning the tag titles, but they kind of didn't do anything with them after that. So I don't have a whole lot of confidence they're going to do anything with Sami Zayn. And I'm also skeptical of the Chad Gable as coach thing, because I thought maybe that was going to lead to a sort of a turn, because they had been building Chad Gable as the guy that wanted to take out Gunther and avenge his crying child and take Gunther down a peg, that he's going to be the guy to do it. And then it winds up Sami Zayn beats him in the gauntlet match to earn the title shot. So I almost saw that maybe Chad Gable is coaching up Sammy, just trying to get closer to him, and then he's going to turn on him at WrestleMania. I got a lot of turns happening at WrestleMania, but it's probably not going to go that way.
Yeah, I guess I'm excited because I know what Gunther and Sammy can bring to the ring. I think they'd be great dancing partners. It's a matter of how much time they're given, and they can really if they can really get a chance, you know, and go 20 minutes or longer, I think it'll really tell the story for Sammy that he could put up with that punishment.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that they'll absolutely have a great showing, very high on the rating scale. So other matches left on the card. LA Knight is getting hot out of nowhere. That's been fun. I've been a fan of his since he was, you know, TNA champion Eli Drake. He should go over AJ Styles in that one-on-one match. He's the big favorite there, minus 1,000. So obviously everyone thinks he's primed to go over AJ Styles, who's only plus 500. The question here is, are they slow building a future main eventer in LA Knight, or are they icing an act that they really don't want to put over? Because LA Knight, as hot as he was all year, all 2023, you would think he'd be much higher up in the card than just a grudge match with AJ Styles, which is, you know, going to be like a sort of a cool off match after a title match or something like that.
Well, I think AJ and LA Knight are the same age, aren't they? Aren't they in their 40s?
Yeah, they're both in their mid 40s. Yeah.
So the hard part is AJ Styles built a reputation and title reigns in different companies. and where LA Knight's like, do we really want to start with this guy? As much as I think they should, because he was so hot. To
yeah.
Where they didn't give him any, they didn't throw him a bone at all.
Right.
Not the same thing, but it reminds me so much of Zack Ryder. And how he got real hot, he got hot on his own, and then they just pissed on him, and he didn't know what to go from there.
There's a few. There's that. That's a real good one. They like threw him the Intercontinental title at a WrestleMania, and then didn't do anything with him at all after that. They were just kind of throwing him a bone. But yeah, guys that get over that they don't necessarily want to get over. There was him. There was Damian Sandow. There was Cesaro, who's over in AEW now. Yeah, there's plenty of people that get hot and get popular, and then Daniel Bryan is the obvious ultra example of that. This reminds me of that with LA Knight, because he was absolutely popping everybody for this entire calendar year, and even at the end of 2022, and they've done nothing with him. It's almost like they don't want him to show up at the arena. They're like, creative has nothing for you, even though you're getting the biggest, some of the biggest pops of the night. They're gonna have him go out there with AJ Styles. They're gonna go 10 minutes, and LA's gonna hit him with the blunt force trauma and do the yeah, and then he's gonna disappear, and it'll be. It was like he wasn't there. You're not going to even remember he was there after that match, because it's going to be so inconsequential. And
honestly, if one of the matches go long, he's in danger of having his match cut.
They might not even go 10. They might have to go 3. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want it to, but it just
– Yeah.
The build to it wasn't very impressive. I don't know. It's a shame. I thought last summer was his moment to even get – the Intercontinental title or something.
Right. It's just something. They pretty much didn't give him anything. What was that one WrestleMania where Owen Hart had to beat Steve Kern in like 9 seconds or something like that, because they were so short on time. They basically, all right, go out there and do your finish and leave. That's how it happens sometimes. And other people get their matches cut completely. They don't even get to go out there. So we got the two-night thing. Hopefully they won't be running long on time like that.
Yet, unless there's something I'm not aware of yet. I mean, SmackDown, they might slide something in, but it's pretty – everybody should get enough time. It shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. You got Yeet versus No Yeet. You got the Uso brothers fighting against each other. Jey Uso is -300, and Jimmy is +200. Like I said, I'm a little bit over the whole Uso bloodline thing, because they made them – they sort of made them look like geeks to me. The way they kept having them turn and jump in and out of the bloodline, and then one turns on the other, and then at one point they both were turning on Roman Reigns. It was like, oh shit, here we go. This is unbelievable. That was some of the biggest heat you could imagine. Just for Jimmy Uso to come crawling back to Roman. It was like, oh, come on. So I'm a little bit over the whole thing. I respect the Usos for what they can do in a ring, and I'm sure they're going to put on a great show, getting a chance to fight each other in front of the WrestleMania crowd. But as far as the storyline, advancing after this, I don't know if there's anything that's going to happen other than, Jey Uso goes over and keeps doing a yeet, and Jimmy just slinks back to the bloodline.
Yeah, it's funny because Jimmy actually needs the win, so I wouldn't be surprised if they have him win.
He definitely needs a boost.
Jay's got a big crowd reaction.
And
Jay could use the win. I think it would help him, because they want to keep people elevated. That would be – I mean, to me, if Jay lost in an honorable way, you might even see the brothers embrace at the end and bury the hatchet. Who knows?
I don't know if I see that one. But we'll see. I see Jay just going over but they're going to make it good. They're going to make it interesting. You got the younger brother out there, Solo, who might make himself known and make himself a part of it as well. But that almost feels too predictable, that Solo interferes and calls Jey Uso to match and lets Jimmy win. That's almost like, you can see that on SmackDown, any week. So I don't know if they're going to do that.
Well, if they go short on time, like 10 minutes, or it'll definitely be Jay. But if they make it a long match with a great story, it could go the other way. We'll see. I mean, it just depends on how much time they're given. Because I think if you give enough time, I mean, they can really put on a show. So it'll be exciting. It could be exciting. I hope it's not a throwaway match.
I don't think it'll be a throwaway match. I think, again, it's Bloodline and it's, you know, Heyman involved with the creative. So yeah, I think they're gonna get the time. There's other things that might get cut in time. That tag team ladder match might only be 8 minutes or something. But the Usos, I think, are gonna get the time that they need. That's gonna be probably 15 minutes, I would think. The tag team match with Roman and The Rock against Seth and Cody. This is the reason this is interesting to me, Jerry, is because you don't see that with the two nights. You don't see too many people that are going to be working both nights, and they're going to risk messing up their main event if they have Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns in there doing too much, going to risk injury. This, I don't expect they're going to have them go very much, but then you can't have a Rock in there too long, because as great as he is, you know, he's not going to carry a tag match at this rate. And Seth Rollins is working the next night too. So, but they got it's so important. They got such a stipulation on it to make it where it's no DQ bloodline rules for Cody versus Roman the next night. If Roman and The Rock go over, which they probably will, they're favored to win that tag match. They're -600 to Seth and Cody +350. So how do you see them working that match? They can't have it too short because it'll feel like a ripoff, but they can't have it too long because all the main parts of that match are still working again the next night.
Well, the Philadelphia crowd's going to love The Rock. So if they somehow get screwed over or there's some resentment in the first match with Rock and Roman, Rock could screw over Roman night two, because I don't think Rock's on the agenda at all for night two, correct?
Right, he's just kind of there.
So I don't know what they're going to do there, or they plant the seed for a later match between the two of them. So I don't know if they're going to completely shatter the bloodline. I think it's time. I think they did such a great job, ended on a really good note, and move on. But I always worry about them going too long with it, like NWO stuff. I'm not saying it's nowhere near what NWO ruined it.
Yeah.
They went way too long, years. It's not even close to that. But I just want to see it where it ends, and it's a memorable story because of how long it lasted and how it kept people invested all those years.
Yeah, there's no Bloodline Wolfpack yet. I don't see Lex Luger getting out of his wheelchair to lead the Bloodline Wolfpack. So it hasn't gone quite that far off the rails, but like I said, to me, they pushed the envelope a little bit with some of the double turns and jumping in and jumping out. But yeah, I think just reading the internet, I think that's the sort of popular pick of how this whole thing's going to go night one and night two, that one way or another, that Rock has an issue with Roman Reigns and costs him the championship on night two, and Cody walks away with the title. So that seems to be the popular consensus there. But as far as the tag team match on night one, yeah, that sets up, you know, Cody to be against the world again, even more if Roman and Rock beat Seth and Cody and make it bloodline rule. So yeah, they kind of have to win that, because you have Seth and Cody go over and make it just a straight up match with Roman and Cody Rhodes. That's kind of deflating in a way, like it takes a little of the spice away, because now you're thinking, well, Bloodline might get involved, they might not, but if Rock and Roman go over, then you know Bloodline's getting involved. You know what's coming on night two, and you know all the odds are once again stacked against Cody. They've made Cody such an underdog. They've stacked the odds so much against him, and they, like I said, they had him bloodied last week with The Rock. What did you think of that brawl last week? Because Cody didn't even fight back, man. That was so. I understand you're trying to be the beat up guy and the baby face that's being so pummeled by this. He didn't even fight Rock. Right? He literally did not throw a single punch when Rock was beating him up and throwing him against the truck and busting him up and blooding his face. It was a little too one-sided for me.
Yeah, a little bit. And then there was also unedited recordings of what Rock was saying. Lots of profanity. So mm-hmm. It definitely is that flavor of, oh, if on TV you're going to hear it this way, but anybody who goes online is going to hear the clips. And I definitely, it's their new version of how they kind of want to get attitude, is they know what they can. And when they go to Netflix next year, it'll be really interesting to see how they roll.
It will be. I don't know if there's too many guys that can pull that off. I don't think there's too many people that's going to be throwing around, you can't fuck with The Rock or you can't fuck with me and stuff like that. Rock can get away with that because he's The Rock. But if they try to have too many other guys try to do that and show attitude, it's not going to look well. You don't have Stone Cold and The Rock and guys with that personality. You don't have those type of guys back there to pull that off. But we'll see how that works out. But I don't think there's going to be too much of that. I think The Rock is doing that because he's The Rock and he can get away with it.
Yeah.
So they're going to put Jade Cargill in a trios match at WrestleMania where they can hide how terrible she is. She's going to team with Naomi and Bianca Belair to take on Damage Control. The question here is, do they let her hot tag and destroy Damage Control and just look like a badass and call it a night there, or do they have her rub Naomi and Bianca the wrong way and set up the beginnings of a feud there?
Well, I think they're going to be in need of some additional heels. I don't know. I was watching just some of her top 30 moves out there in AEW, and a lot of them were pretty sloppy. Pretty sloppy.
She had 30 of them? I think I counted about six.
Yeah, well, when you count a European uppercut as one, you reach it. It's like the Chris Jericho 1001 move.
Armbar. And number 30 and number 45.
They gave her a fantastic entrance. We'll see. I don't know if they're... I'm just doing a count, and I'm like, oof, they can use some more real hot heels. We'll see. What do you think the Philadelphia crowd's going to do to her?
Mostly cheer because, like you said, they've given her such a great entrance. They've treated her like a star. They've made it seem like she's this humongous free agent and this unbelievable talent acquisition. They can get away with it because most of that WWE crowd hasn't seen her try to work. They don't know what's going to happen when the bell rings. But some of them do. It's not going to be 100% love for her. There's going to be some boos, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere near overwhelming. But I think everyone's going to sort of be holding their breath and waiting to see what happens when she does finally tag in and how terrible is she going to look and how great can Damage Control work to bounce off her and make her seem like a monster. And are they going to have her in the ring for longer than, 30 seconds before they start having the schmoz and everybody brawl and sort of cover up what she can do? Cause yeah, it was rough. Some of those AEW matches were very, very rough.
And that's why she's in this match. It's like hiding mm-hmm. weaknesses.
You know, if you can get Goldberg through a whole career with what he could do, then you can get Jade Cargill through a couple years or so. Wrestling is great at that. It's sort of hiding the flaws and the blemishes of people. So, yeah,
well,
great idea to get
Bianca and her. And Bianca and her would not be a good match. It would be like watching when Goldberg was up against Steven Regal. Steven Regal was just embarrassing. I don't know. I worry about what they're going to do there. I don't think they would bring her out because he said no mention of it, but do we know what the status of Charlotte Flair is? I'm assuming if we're going to see her, it'll be on Monday.
Yeah, we have not heard anything about her. The last I read was soon, but that was maybe a month ago. She'll be around at some point. That would be a good person to work with, Jade Cargill. She's always got a lot of experience. She can make her look decent, I'm sure. But God, I can't think of Charlotte Flair anymore without thinking about her fake breasts flopping everywhere like it was against Ronda Rousey a couple years ago. That image is like burned in my head now. So hopefully when Charlotte comes back, she's got gear that actually fits. So that's what I think about.
With her. With the she also stopped with the plastic surgery.
Yeah,
there was a couple of live events that my wife watched, and she was like, "Who is that? That's Charlotte Flair. That's not Charlotte Flair." There was one or two pay-per-views where she was fairly unrecognizable, like something was wrong with her face. And I don't know, she's got to stop.
Unfortunately, once you start, you can't stop. Some people can't stop with that stuff. Great use of Logan Paul. Very irritating, but they're using him in exactly the right way, defending the U.S. title in a three-way against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Reminds me of the year, I know you remember this, the year at WrestleMania where Orton was the champ and defended the title against in a three-way against Triple H and John Cena. It's like, okay, we got Triple H and John Cena, two stars, two actual stars. And then Randy Orton was sort of playing the he doesn't belong here, he's not on their level, but he's got the title. And you really wanted to see them murder Randy Orton. You almost didn't care if Triple H or John Cena won the title. You just wanted to see them destroy Randy Orton. And, of course, Randy Orton finds a way to sneak in and slip away with the victory and retain the championship. And I think Logan Paul is probably a very good bet to retain his championship in this match. He's minus 500, and Orton is plus 350, and Kevin Owens is plus 900. Yeah, the crowd wants to see the heel get his ass kicked by both guys, and that makes him extra hot when he sneaks out a win. Do you see this going the same way with Logan Paul?
Yeah, Logan Paul, last year's Royal Rumble, when he jumped off the top and Seth Rollins said, nope, that was Ricochet, jumped off the top. And they met in the middle with a clothesline.
Yeah, they jumped off the top with each other, yeah.
I mean, that showed Logan Paul, even though he was only one half of that dancing partner, but the fact that he could pull that off shows, like, well, this guy does have something. He's just not some social media guy. Like, he does have some talent, and he can cut a good, he can be a great heel. That was something that WWE back in their past only did this with their Intercontinental champions, was make them good, snappy, long-term heels. And I just don't know what his contract looks like, or if he's only so many events a year, but he's proven he can hang. It's unbelievable.
He is a great heel because I hate his guts. He's very good at making you hate his guts. And he's an incredible athlete, and he absolutely has the timing down in the ring with very little experience, which says a lot about him and his abilities. And I admit it, he's much better than I thought he would be. He's damn good. He's still just an internet chode as far as I'm concerned, because I don't really know anything about him otherwise, but he's damn good. His brother's damn good at getting heat too. His brother's going to get his ass beat by Mike Tyson coming up this summer.
Oh, I'm going to be watching that one. I will be watching that one. And I don't watch boxing anymore. I haven't watched boxing in years, but
right.
I will watch that one. So, it doesn't even matter. Like with Mike Tyson, you just want to see him destroy his brother. And but with Logan Paul, I just don't know what his contract looks like, but he doesn't seem to wrestle a lot. But boy, he does make a statement, and I think it's great if they can. I actually could see him winning, and that Philadelphia crowd would they might throw stuff in the ring, which is good for business.
Yeah, that's going to be nuclear, similar to when Dom comes out there, absolute
Dominic Mysterio.
Blow the roof off the place, nuclear heat, absolutely.
Watching his matches. Did you see a match against Gunther like a month ago?
Yeah.
he is going to be one of the greatest heels. And he's been this way. It's just amazing. Cause when they first kind of had him, and I'm Ray's kid, and I'm like, oh, man, this guy's lame.
Right.
And then just how he is, their big, dirty Dom and everything. I'm like, oh, my God. And he doesn't, hopefully he can really have a spot something going on in that Rhea Ripley match, because it's a shame he doesn't have something to spotlight him.
Right. Well, they shoved him into a tag match. It feels like they just created it like last night, and so they're going to put him with Santos Escobar, and they're going to take on his father, Rey Mysterio, and Dragon Lee in tag team action. I'm a little surprised they didn't just go back to Rey and Dom singles against each other, father versus son, but I guess they already did it, so they decided to spice it up this way. But yeah, that guy absolutely knows how to get the crowd against him at all times. You can tell that he watched a lot of Uncle Eddie. He's got a lot of those mannerisms. He's got that Eddie Guerrero walk to the ring, that sort of slow loping method where he's just kind of like, yeah, I'm the man, I'm the badass, look at me. So it's great that he had that influence, and then he's got the fact that he's Rey's son, so he's got that training down, that influence. He's a little gangly because he's not nearly as small and compact as Rey. He's a lot longer limb, so he's still a little awkward in ring. But yeah, as far as the mannerisms and the personality, he's definitely got that snotty kid that you want to just slap across the face. He's definitely got that going for him big time.
Well, everybody wants his ass hand to him. I mean, it's very Buddy Roberts of the Fabulous Freebirds. Everybody thinks they can kick his ass. And that's what made Buddy Roberts. Everybody looked at those Freebirds, they went, everyone kicked this guy's ass. And that's what they feel about. This is what he reminds me of. And the only reason he hasn't got a big singles push yet is he probably isn't quite ready. But, man, if they can keep working on his skills, because his mic and his mannerisms, and, oh, my God, he is, I can't wait. I mean, I remember how old he is. He's like his low 20s, right?
Yeah, he's not old. He's mid-20s, something like that. Just got married. So,
yeah.
He's nuclear. He is absolutely nuclear every time he comes out. And I love the Buddy Roberts comp, too, because with those Freebirds, you had Michael Hayes, who that's where the money was to watch him get his ass kicked. So you couldn't have him do it every night. Terry Gordy was the badass that gave him the credibility. You couldn't have him get his ass kicked. And so Buddy Roberts was perfect to be the guy that took the loss and made Divine Erics look good, and everybody beat him up. So, yeah, that's a real good comp there.
That match against Gunther, I know, like, a Mark would look at it and say, oh, he got his ass kicked. I'm like, but he did it in such a good, like, oh, the way he bumped was so fantastic against Gunther. And to me, a lot of people don't, like, he held his own, and he made Gunther look devastating. The way he allowed himself to kind of get folded in half and everything was just outstanding. And a good chicken shit heel, that's what that's all about, is to be very, to seem very beatable, but you can steal those wins.
Yeah, that felt like a sort of a dry run at a Gunther babyface run, like that, because there's no reason to have him fight Gunther at that point. But that almost seemed like, okay, Gunther has been the dominant heel. Let's put him in there with somebody that we know the crowd's going to hate more than Gunther, and let's see how Gunther works and how the crowd reacts. And I think that was a dry run to see if maybe Gunther can be maybe someday he'll be the guy to challenge for the Universal title or something like that. And it worked out great. I thought it was a really good match, and it showed Gunther, people want to cheer. People want to cheer Gunther, you know, chopping people to death and beating them into hamburger meat. And obviously everybody wants to boo Dominic. The moment that Gunther pulled Dom's little chest vest or whatever that covering is, because he's basically wearing a long shirt into the ring, not long sleeve, but a shirt that covers his body all the way up to his neck. And the moment Gunther pulled that down and chopped his bare chest, yeah, that was it. That the crowd was just eating that completely up. You didn't have to do anything else for that crowd that night, because that's what they wanted. They got what they wanted in that match.
Very reminiscent of D'Lo Brown's chest protector. That was was really covering up a physique. I'm sure that's something he's got to work on. But, yeah. He's got everything else down. They got those skills. If he can, you know, get to that level, it'll be great to see. But I really hope that he is a factor in the Rhea Ripley match, because it's a shame to bury him in a tag match.
They had to do something with him. It almost felt like, oh, we kind of ran out of room on the car. We don't know what to do with you. Yeah, we'll throw you in this tag match here. Speaking of, they don't know what to do with them. They put Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits in a six-man against Killer Cross and the Authors of Pain in a Philadelphia street fight, which is going to kind of just be there. It's not going to really have any impact on either anyone's career going forward. It's just kind of, you know, get them on the card type of deal. Any thoughts on that and that whole feud at all, which has been a little odd to me?
Pre-show.
Yeah.
Like a pre-match, like you know, waiting for the crowd to get filled up. It happens. I mean, they've built up so many matches that's been fantastic that it is unfortunate that there's some that are just to the wayside. It happens every year. Actually, there's usually more matches that are like that.
Yeah, there's their share of that share of matches. Like I said, the LA Knight AJ Styles feels like it's just kind of there. The tag match is a little bit kind of random, just a ladder match for the tag titles for no reason almost. There's a fair share of filler on this card as well. Not quite as much as some other WrestleManias, but there's enough. Your thoughts overall on this WrestleMania card? How strong, how weak compared to recent years?
Well, there's enough top matches to spread out between two nights that there's at least three hot matches on each night. And some potential, you know, there's some potential in some of these other ones, but, you know, these big, huge tag matches will spread out. They'll have a couple of pre-show ones, and then they will, you know, they're going to give most of that time to, you know, I'm imagining with entrances, the main events are going to be an hour. That's with entrances.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours left. And I think they're going back to the three-hour format. Am I right?
For each night? Yeah, that sounds right.
I think that's about what they did. So, you know, and there's going to be at least another match that's going to go that half hour to 40 minutes. So I could be wrong, but I think just the top three of each night is very exciting. I've been very excited about this. You know, the last few weeks of these last-second build-ups are disappointing, especially when there's people in there you like and you want to see more elevated. But they would have been built up as of WrestleMania. They would start building them up already, and they haven't. So that is what it is. But at least I think it's a pretty round out with the women's title matches. A lot of times when there's a title match, it's like, who's got the title this week? They've really done a good job of stretching out title reigns a little more. I mean, you know, you had the Roman Reigns one, but even the Gunther one, but the other one,
right.
I mean, Seth had his for how long? He's got to be 6 months or did he win it? I can't remember when he won it, but it seems like it's been a fairly long, as far as the last 30 years of WWE standards, anything
right.
to go longer than 6 months is pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. So the Roman Reigns reign, they're setting records. Gunther set a record with his Intercontinental title reign. Rhea Ripley's had that championship forever. She seems unstoppable. So, and even Io Sky has had hers for quite a while. So, yeah, ever since everything with Vince McMahon and sort of pushing him out of power and out of creative, there's definitely been more of an emphasis on keeping the champions as champions and making them look strong and building them up so that when they do get beat, it actually means something. And, yeah, I'm all in favor of that.
Well, and with the Vince situation, just you start to piece together why people left when they did, even Stephanie, and then to find out, you know, she was probably aware of things. The writing was on – you know, once that started to sneak out, it's like, well, that explains why she disappeared. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's just what I'm reading, but doesn't mean it's true. So we'll see as things progress. But it's a shame because it kind of, like, ruined his legacy. But me and you've been fans long enough to know to remember, like, back in the early to mid-'80s, there was a female referee. who left the company under strange circumstances. And mm-hmm. she sued and settled out of court. And then there was the Vince, like 15, 20 years ago, getting a massage, and things got out of hand. And, it's like enough of these stories kind of came out. And then, how they like to turn that into include that in stories to where the Mr. McMahon character was this womanizer. I'm like, I don't think that was far off.
No, it wasn't. everyone's pretty much known that he's a scumbag all these years. Everybody's known, like you said, going back to Reader Chatterton and going back to the Mike McGurk and all these things have happened over the years that you sign enough people to non-disclosure agreements, kind of like Donald Trump. You can just sweep anything under the rug if you legally can shut people up enough. And this one young lady, Janelle Grant, had enough and said, I'm going to break the NDA. And I'm going to sue Vince McMahon and I'm going to put all this stuff in this lawsuit and let everybody know exactly what the guy
is.
Did
you read what went on there? That was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was...
We all have our thing, but that ain't right. That's just like, dude, what is wrong with you?
If you haven't read the lawsuit, it's a tough read, especially if you're sensitive to the sexual assault and if you're sensitive to passing your subordinate around the office as a sex toy and using sex toys and defecating on people, and it's a lot. It's a whole lot. The whole thing reads like a WTF choose your own adventure. Like if I go to this page, I'll read about this and then I'll read about using a black sex toy and naming it after my black wrestlers. And it's terrible. I can't imagine everyone is going to go unscathed. Eventually everyone is going to, those who knew, Triple H knew, Stephanie knew, everybody knew, all the executives, it's all going to hit the fan at some point, and then The Rock maybe really will be the last person standing and the last, the final boss and the owner of everything when it's all said and done.
Well, we're going to find out really quickly if people have ever learned the lesson of don't use your work phone or email for texting, photos or email. We're going to find that out real quick. And, hearsay is not going to be good enough. If they've got enough evidence, there's going to be quite a role.
Vince didn't learn that lesson himself because just today he tried to have something released to put this poor girl in a bad light, Janelle Grant, where there was some love letter to her that to him that she supposedly wrote to him. That's supposed to absolve him of the things that he did. And she and her lawyers immediately like, okay, we got the receipts of the emails and the texts that this girl and Vince sent back and forth where Vince is giving her the instructions on this email that she's supposed to write to profess her love for him. So everything that he was doing to exploit her and beat her down and use her, they've got the receipts for pretty much all of it. They've got the text of her telling him, I can't write this email the way that you wanted me to because my fingers hurt from all this crap you've been doing to me and whatnot. So it's all coming down at some point, and those who knew are shaking in their boots right now, and it's all going to come out. Eventually everything gets disinfected by the sunlight, and I can't wait. I'm just sitting here with my popcorn just waiting for it all to sort of break down.
I guess the one I worry about is I've always been a Bruce Prichard fan, and if it comes out that, he was aware of it. I know he's been gone a long time, but he's been back for a bit now. But, I hope he can steer clear of it. But, in the end, it's the boss, and he really got beholden to, I get away with this stuff, and which should sound familiar. And they get more careless and thinking that they're protected by the old code of silence with the boys. But when you're a publicly traded company now, things change.
Yeah, that's the big thing is using that hush money and not telling your board about it and trying to use your personal funds and cover everything up. You that's a big no-no. That's pretty much why he got the WWE board against him initially when he first got let go a few years ago and then made a coup and found a way back into power. But eventually this lawsuit finally came out and just blew everything away. Yeah, Pritchard is he's a cockroach. He's going to survive everything. He knows just enough to be able to profess that he didn't know everything, you know. I listen to the way he talks around things on his podcast, and he's really good at acting like he doesn't know the details of certain things that he should know the details of. So I don't think he's going to get necessarily as wrapped up in all of this as everyone else. I just got a feeling somehow he'll find a way to have plausible deniability, and he might not be in WWE anymore after all this, but I don't know if he's going to be potentially included in any of these lawsuits like all the other ones, like the other executives that already got named.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. That was a thing. So that's the WrestleMania preview. Do you keep up with AEW at all? I know there's a lot of other wrestling out there. There's a lot of stuff to watch if you want to take the time.
I've been watching AEW on and off.
Yeah, there's some guys there that are just unbelievable that are, you know, if you're really a big fan of guys who know how to work, there's some guys that are there now that they've always had. To me, they've always had the best workers ever since they started up a few years ago. When you talk about Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, they can go with anybody. Now they bring in Will Ospreay from England, and he's unbelievable. I don't know how many matches of his that you've watched over the years, but there's pretty much nothing he can't do in the ring.
Yeah, I'm surprised he went to AEW. Maybe it was the whole idea of going to NXT first or something. You know, WWE can humble you real quick.
Yeah,
but
that's silly. You don't put him in the minor leagues. Come on.
Yeah, that seems like that was a pretty big trend. Even Kevin Owens got stuck in there for a few months or a year.
Yeah, pretty much everybody that comes their way, they send them off to the minors first. And I definitely don't agree with that. You know, AJ Styles may be the one guy that didn't have to get sent down there. But everyone else, they just
probably,
Joe, for the love of God, got sent to NXT. Come on.
Yeah, and see Samoa Joe back at it again. It's great because I feel WWE was cutting short his career, trying to throw him down the path of being an announcer. I think he had miles left in the tank. And it's nice to see he got kind of another run through, was it the Ring of Honor kind of wing of AEW?
Right.
Yeah.
And then they had him segue into that to be the guy to take down MJF and take the championship from him, which I didn't know if they were going to have the guts to do that because Joe is, as great as he is, he's not aerodynamic. He's not flying through the air. He's a great worker, but he's not, you know, him and Kenny Omega would be a little bit of a weird matchup because the trend is to have guys that can wrestle and also, you know, get up in the air, and Joe doesn't really go through the air anymore. But they did it, and it's working because they're painting him as the badass that he is, and they're doing a great job with him as champ. And they're getting all these other, you know, aerodynamic guys to work with him to take the bumps and make him look even stronger. So they're doing it the right way with Joe.
He used up quite a bit of his bump card early, like when he was in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, that was a great run with Kurt Angle and everything, but he definitely had, because of his size, had used up his bump card to where he's got to wrestle a little smarter, but he can still be impactful with his size.
Yeah, those are pay-per-view TNA Unbreakable, where he had a three-way with AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. That's probably one of my five favorite matches of all time. It's that great. I still watch it every few months. Still today, because that's how good it was, and it took place a long time ago, but it was unbelievable. The AEW's
great.
The other guy
that got cut short was I thought Austin Aries was great. They had him in NXT. I was just waiting for him to explode, and they just kind of, I don't think they were going to use him, so he got out. And I don't know if he is currently wrestling.
No, he's one of those, his personality is such that he's pretty much taken himself out of wrestling because he's such a, basically he's a prick and he's an a-hole from everything that I've ever heard about him. And I don't know if he's one of those like sexual deviant a-holes that took himself out of the industry, like Joey Ryan and Marty Scurll, who I loved. I don't know if he's on that list, but he's on the list of no one wants to work with him because that's how bad he rubs people the wrong way.
That's a shame. I just remember how he could carry some of those NXT matches were pretty big there a few years ago.
Yeah, we're getting into my foray into Ring of Honor and that sort of indie style of wrestling that I prefer, because the very first Ring of Honor show I went to, the main event was Samoa Joe against Austin Aries for the Ring of Honor championship, and Aries was the champ, and despite being much smaller, he made it work, and he impressed me, and he retained the championship, and it was believable that he retained the championship, which is saying something of how dominant Joe was back then, that he lost, and it was believable that his opponent could win. Yeah, I was always a big fan of Austin Aries too, but he doesn't appear to be the nicest guy, unfortunately.
Well, you're hard to work with.
Yeah, very. So anything else you wanted to cover about wrestling? Or is there so much to cover and to talk about? And
I think you need to talk a little bit about CM Punk. I mean, just his last year.
Yeah.
Never thought we'd see him again. Everything that went on AEW, of course, we never really knew what happened. And all of a sudden, the last place I ever thought we'd see was back in WWE. And then you start to wonder, like, what was really going on in AEW? Because I really don't think WWE would have brought him in if he was that much of a problem. But who knows? It's a shame that Royal Rumble got hurt. It would have been great to see what they would have done with him. I think the original plan was definitely Seth Rollins, but maybe next year he can be the main event of night two, which is what his goal's been since he left the first time.
I doubt his body can withstand it. He was messing his body up in AEW. He was tearing ligaments and whatnot in AEW before fighting the Young Bucks in the back, reportedly. And not just hurting himself, but the way that he was trying to wrestle and work in AEW, he was trying to act like he was still 30 years old. He was trying to do flips, and he tried to imitate the buckshot lariat from Adam Page, and he tried it like two or three times, and he stumbled and screwed himself up each and every time he tried it. Like, kid, you're not a kid anymore. You're mid-40s, and your body's probably even older than that, and I don't think he understands that about himself. I love CM Punk. I'm a Chicago guy. He's a Chicago guy. I love the fact that he really did always give his best, and I love how authentic he was about it. He really pulls no punches, man. He might not be 100% honest all the time, but when he does start to talk, he's pretty much shooting most of the time, if not all the time. And I respect, what he's done and who he used to be, but he's not that guy anymore, and I don't think he understands that. So that's the problem with him. And then anyone who challenges him and tries to tell him, you're not what you used to be, I think he takes that very personally. I think he like all of us, he kind of sees the end of the path, and he sees what he used to be and what he isn't anymore, and he's very frustrated at that, and he kind of lashes out at anybody who suggests otherwise. You're right. It was the last thing I expected when he came, when that music hit at Royal Rumble, not Royal Rumble, but Survivor Series, and the personality came out, and there he is back in Chicago, and everybody's going crazy again, just like when he came out in AEW with that first dance show that was so incredible. But yeah, basically that's my thoughts and opinion on CM Punk is love him and respect what he used to do, but he's not that guy anymore in the ring, outside the ring. He's still, good, but he basically should be doing the Jericho, if you know what I mean. Like, Jericho doesn't try to do 50% of what he used to, because he can't anymore. He knows that. So he completely modified his style. He doesn't look anything like he used to look. But it's still effective because he knows how to work around that. And Punk needs to just learn how to work around what he used to be. And he hasn't learned that yet. And as a result, he keeps tearing triceps and elbows and everything else. But yeah, he needs to stop doing that. He needs to stop fighting executives of other companies. And he needs to calm himself down, basically.
Yeah, and I think him being on the mic, I know he'll get involved in the match most likely. But really seeing what he's got to bring, he's got great mic skills. So it could be kind of fun to see what he brings to the commentary for that, too.
Yeah, there was a bit of not a bit of realism, but a lot of it. Him and Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins had a back and forth on the stick last week on Raw, and it was that is Punk's best attribute is on the microphone, and some of the barbs that they were throwing each other felt very real. And yeah, there's a level that those guys can go to on the mic with each other and with others that is above most other people as far as promos go. As we know, most guys don't really do promos like they used to back in the day, back when you had Rock and Foley and Austin and Undertaker and all these guys walking around that were all great promos. There's not a whole lot of those anymore, but Punk and McIntyre and Rollins definitely are.
Oh, the comment of the night was, "My job that night is going to make your match watchable." That was fantastic. Considering he's sitting on the outside watching in, the fact that he got to dig in to find a dig like that, it might have been written for him, but I don't know if they've gotten away from complete scripting or if they're bullet points again. Some wrestlers, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I prefer the style where they get a rough idea what they're going to say and they just go for it.
Yeah, there's probably not a whole lot of guys that they can just do bullet points. Those three are probably about it back there. I think everyone else, they probably have to the script all the way out. But those three, I think they can just say, okay, this is what you're going to do, this, this, and this, and go for it.
I definitely like it on the tops of the cards, how, you know, bringing in, you know, just in general, just bringing in a little bit of truth, a little bit of controversy, picking on family. I mean, reminds me of the Attitude Era, as far as like, ooh, we struck a chord there, or one of us going to sit there and go, well, I know this is all fake, but that was a real shot. Like, that was what he said, that was outside the lines. That really kind of suspends your disbelief even further. Like, well, they really don't like each other. I'm sure this is all approved and they're all professionals and they'll work together. But it is fantastic when they can cut deep.
It is. There's only so many people that can do it that are good enough to do it. Just tonight, Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley tried to do that, where Becky's getting mad because you mentioned my daughter, and it didn't work. Not everybody can shoot like that or fake shoot like that. And Becky Lynch is one of those. She thinks she's all real and tough, and she tried to act like she was all mad and whatnot. It just doesn't work with everybody. Not everybody can pull that off.
Well, when your opponent is huge and has a goth look, you know, it's tough.
All right. It's late. I'll let you go here. Again, another great show previewing the upcoming WrestleMania. There's 40 of these now. I can't believe how old we are. 40 WrestleManias. We both remember the very first one 40 years ago, and now here we are with the 40th in Philadelphia. And God willing, we'll be around to see the 50th coming 10 years from now. So we'll see how all that works out. But the 40th coming up two nights in Philadelphia, and that was our big preview of the whole show. I think we got every match on the card, even the pre-match type show, the pre-show type matches, rather. So, Jerry, once again, thank you very much for joining me. Usually it's me and Jay, but Jay, again, under the weather. Very much appreciate you coming on every year to preview WrestleMania and talk some shop with me. So thank you once again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. That was Jerry, the wrestling expert. We are very happy to have him on every single year to preview WrestleMania, just like we are very happy to have Dave, the movie expert, on to preview the Oscars. I can't thank those guys enough. Those are the two regular guys that I have on the show as far as guests go. And I'm very, very grateful for both of them for taking the time to indulge me and coming on our little podcast here. for no compensation. I'm not at that level yet. We're 11 years at this podcast, and we're still haven't blown up, but we keep plugging away, and maybe one day it'll come to fruition. You never know. I was in Chicago with Jay this weekend. We were hanging out doing the baseball draft that we usually do for our fantasy league. So I got to hang out with him and the fam. He brought his family down, his wife and children. They got some interesting stories about their stay in Chicago that we were probably going to touch on in the after show for a little bit if Jay was on for, you know, just for a little while only. It's late and we both have to work tomorrow. Although I don't know if Jay will be working tomorrow with migraines or whatnot. I will be working tomorrow. But I will not spoil Jay and his stories and his family's stories about staying at that particular hotel in Chicago that we all stayed at. But it was adventurous. It was there was a lot going on in those two nights that we were there. And I got away real quick for the weekend, got back yesterday, and now here I am doing a podcast. Jay almost made the rounds. We had the podcast last week and then the trip to Chicago, and then he almost made it back home and able to do the podcast tonight, but he just was not able to make that trip. So sorry to hear that about Jay. He was texting me maybe a half hour before the show and said he was taking medicine for migraines and was not going to be able to make it. He wants to do a show next week to catch up and I'm sure talk about what happened in Chicago. And then after that, our next show will probably be the draft aftermath for the NFL draft coming up at the end of April. So that is our tentative schedule. Sometime next week, get Jay back on and we'll catch up and talk about Chicago and talk about WrestleMania, which will have happened at that point, and talk about my new baseball gig, because by then I will have, unless we have a show Monday night, I'll be doing baseball Tuesday night, my very first game working that new job with MLB as a boss operator, Tuesday night and Wednesday afternoon. And then Wednesday night, of course, is my bowling league. So next week, it'll be either Monday, Thursday, or the weekend that we'll be touching base and getting back together. Jay back on his podcast along with me. So hopefully you enjoyed listening and will be back to join us at that point. So for my co-host Jay, who was not here tonight, and for Jerry, the wrestling expert, I am Dre, and this has been Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, our WrestleMania 40 preview of Cody Rhodes' never-ending story that will hopefully come to an end one way or another this coming Saturday. We will talk to you sometime next week.